Pastor, thanks for having me. And really looking forward to sharing my testimony with you of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life as a person and also as a footballer. So I'm going to tell you a bit about myself, how I got converted. I'm going to tell you about a bit about my football career, and I pray that you would enjoy it tonight. But before we do, just a few verses from God's Word. If we could read to you just as a foundation for the things that I would like to say. And I'm very conscious that there's very young children here as well tonight, so I'll not keep you too long, okay? But the reading is from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We'll read from verse 15 through to verse 22. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered together, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they'd handed Jesus over to him. And when Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I've suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. Now listen to this, and this is the reason I've read this portion. Pilate asks, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Let me just pray. Father, would you bless this simple testimony and bless your word unto our hearts? And bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, folks. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That's a question that was put to me at the age of 17 in the Whitewell Church in Belfast. I want to tell you a bit about my conversion, but just let me give you a bit of background first. I grew up in East Belfast, in the shadow of the shipyard there, and also in the shadow of Glentoran Football Club, always dreaming of playing professional football, especially for Glentoran. And the distant dream was to play for maybe someone on the mainland in Scotland or in England. I should say also that I came from a very big family. Listen to this, boys. I grew up with 7 girls in the house. I had 7 sisters. You can imagine what that was like. It was difficult for me. 2 brothers, which were grown up, so I was left on my own to deal with all of these sisters. I had a mum and a dad. Mum worked extremely hard, as you can imagine. My dad was a renovator. He renovated houses, and he loved me just and loved all of his children very, very much. As I say, my love was for football from a very early age, and in primary 7, I had the privilege of representing Belfast schools over in Scotland and in England. And at the end of the year, there was a big awards dinner, and I had to go along to the Le Mans Hotel in Belfast. My mum and dad were with me that night, and I remember sitting there with my little Belfast jumper on and hearing the announcement that the player of the year for Belfast schools that particular year went to the boy with the golden left foot, Stuart Elliott. And I was so proud because, as I said, it wasn't too often that my dad got time off work, but here he was and he could see his son come to pick up his award. The reason I speak about that is because straight after those particular days, a man called Joe Kincaid, who was a scout for Rangers Football Club, he knocked on my back door one night and asked my dad if I could come and play for the Northern Ireland champions, St Andrews, over in the Shankill Road. I knew who St Andrews were, so of course I was getting extremely excited. This was my big break. I was going then from primary school into secondary school, and I got to say, folks, life up to then was absolutely fantastic for me. But many of you recognize and realize tonight that in life, even as a young person, and especially the longer you go through this life, sometimes you can be on top of the mountain, isn't that right? But it doesn't take too long for the mountain to get on top of you sometimes. That's what happened to me one particular Saturday. I was up at an amateur league game, and I was coming back home with a friend of mine called Paul Lehman, who went on to be the captain of Glentoran for many years. And Paul and I were just talking, as normal young lads do, when I seen his auntie coming out of one of the side streets with a look of concern on her face. She said, "Paul, you need to go home now, son. And Stuart, you need to run on home as well." And I tell you, folks, that 100 yards that I walked from where Paul's auntie was to the end of my street was the longest of my life, because my uncle was waiting on me. His name was Billy. Billy was quite a tough sort of character. And it was then when I got closer to him, I seen that he had tears in his eyes, and I knew something was drastically wrong. And as a 13-year-old kid, he broke the news to me that my father, who I adored, had took a massive heart attack on the Craigie Road and had passed out into eternity. He was dead before he hit the ground. That devastated me, because I remember going round and watching people come in to console my mother, and the reality that my dad had gone had not hit home with me. And I struggled to deal with it in those days as a young kid. I actually started to think about eternity and about the things of God and, you know, what had happened to my father. During this time, to take my mind off my sorrow, I had football. My teachers used to tell me to get myself a good education. I used to say, I'm going to be a professional someday. I don't need to worry about an education. And by the way, young people, get as best education you possibly can. But I just said to my teachers, I want to be a professional. Don't worry about that. And I put all my eggs into one basket. But at the age of 15, my football dream also collapsed. I went along to the end of season dinner when the team was dispelling. Some of the boys were getting apprenticeships for Irish League clubs. Others were going to Scotland and England. And I firmly believed that I would get my break. But I was told on no uncertain terms that I wasn't developed enough. Although I was a good talent, I wasn't going to make it as a professional. And so here I was, a year out of football from 15 to 16, on the street corners. My life really had nowhere, folks. My father had gone. My family situation wasn't great, as you can imagine. My football dream collapses, and now my future's uncertain because I'm leaving school without any qualifications. And I asked myself this simple question during those days. What is life all about? And why has life dealt me this hand as a young person? I am here to testify tonight that I found out a year later at the age of 17 that life is in a person, and that person is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He transformed my life. And here's how my conversion came about very quickly. I was lying in my bed one sunny August morning thinking of where I was going to get a job from. And a knock comes to my door. It's my young cousin Glenn. His father, my uncle Billy, had went on to get gloriously saved, born again. And he was a pastor at this church in Whitewell in Belfast. And Glenn's dad had sent Glenn round to try and persuade me to come to a Christian youth event. I had no interest in Christianity, so I told Glenn, thanks, but no thanks. Glenn said he knew how to get me. He said, Stuart, they're making big juicy cheeseburgers round there in the field. And the big crates of Coke. And guys, you've never seen anybody get ready so quickly in all of your life. But when I arrived at that field, I seen something in those Christian people, especially the young people that I knew my mates on the street corners didn't have. And I began to ask myself the question, what is it that they have? Because I desperately need it. And there was young men that got alongside me in those days who told me, this is what they said, we don't have religion because religion puts people off. We have a relationship with the living Jesus. He's transformed our lives. And those young men told me that if I was to put my hand in the hand of Christ, if I was to give Jesus Christ my heart, then he could take my hopelessness, he could give me a hope, a future, and a reason for living. And listen to this, folks. They were all so faithful to tell me about the place that the Bible calls heaven and eternal life. But they were also faithful to present the whole gospel. They also told me about the place that the Bible calls hell and the judgment of God. God really started to speak to me during those days. It was no coincidence then that I joined Glen Torren under 17s and my football dreams started to materialize again. But after those training sessions, those summer evenings, instead of going back to stand on the street corners with my mates to do what I always did, I found myself compelled to go in and stand with these Christians again. And I stood outside the tent mission that night, and I heard the message of God's love and how Jesus Christ had died for me, a sinner, and that if I put my trust in him, he could save me from the judgment of God, and I would experience the love of God. And I got to say, at that particular time, my life was at a crossroads. I had a decision to make as a 17-year-old lad. Was I going to go back the way of the crowd? Or was I going to turn my back on that and go the way of the cross? Because do you know what was made clear to me? When it came to Jesus Christ, there is no sitting on the fence. You're either for him or you're against him. I'm ashamed to say that it was 3 weeks before I made my decision. Do you know why? Because of peer pressure. I was afraid of what my mates would say if I told them that I was a Christian, so I hid my light. But here's why I read that text tonight, because even when those Christians went back to their church and the tent wrapped up, I was left every day with this words that Pilate says, Stuart Elliott, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? My uncle knew that I was under conviction, so he took me over to the Whitewell Church. And I sat in the balcony, outwardly, saying, look at these Christians lifting their hands and expressing themselves to God. You'll never get me doing that. And I was telling my cousin this, but inside God was really drawing me. And I heard the same message about how Jesus was the God-man, that he died upon the cross for my sins. And I decided that night on the 3rd of September 1995, as the great missionary C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ is God and would die for me, there's no sacrifice too great that I can make for him. And I said, even if I lose everything, I'm walking the way of the cross and no turning back. So I raised my hand to say I wanted to ask Jesus into my life. And here's the funny side of it. The pastor, who was getting quite old, looked up into the balcony and he said, talking about me, by the way, he said, there's a lovely young lady up there who wants to become a Christian. And the reason he said that, you see, is because I had long hair at the time. I was taking sunbeds. I was wearing purple velvet jackets. And I thought it was God's answer to girls, you know. So here's the greatest moment of my life, and he's calling me a woman. And I'm thinking I'm going to have a word with the pastor after the service. But you know what, folks? It was a funny moment, but it was the greatest moment of my life, because I can tell you this. I left that church that night completely born again. And I could not tell you how it happened, because the Bible says it's a mystery. We cannot tell how the Spirit moves. But I went out and I was transformed. I was a new creation and I knew it from the inside out. You say, Stuart, what happened afterwards? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say it tonight. He became so real to me. And he's still surreal to me tonight. Stuart, was it easy since you became a Christian? Not on your life. And if you go to a church tonight that tells you it's easy to be a Christian, you're in the wrong church. Because Jesus said this, do you want to follow me? From the youngest to the oldest, do you want to follow me? Take up your cross, die to yourself, and then you can be my disciple. And it wasn't easy, and it will not be easy if you were to make a decision for Christ. You might lose some things, but you know what? I find God puts so many more good things in its place, and you have an assurance of eternal life. So it wasn't easy, and I got to also say, folks, I made many mistakes, but I love what the psalmist says. David said this. He said, Lord, it was your gentleness that made me great. In other words, Lord, you're a patient God. And God was patient with me till I became the man that he really wanted me to be. So let me tell you very quickly, God started to put my life back together again. From all of that hopelessness, I went on, joined Glen Torren, made it into the first team within a year and a half. 5 years I spent at Glen Torren, won 12 trophies, one Irish League, two Irish Cups, and every other trophy in Irish League football twice over. By the end of my time at Glen Torren, I finished runner-up to Northern Ireland Footballer of the Year. And I had many disappointments because David Moyes, who's now the Manchester United manager, was supposed to sign me for Preston, but the deal fell through. And I remember on my knees in my little room saying, Lord, would you please open a door for me to go on to the mainland? It was a few weeks later that Motherwell put £120,000 of a bid in for me, and I found myself in Scotland. And God put me to the test. I want to just challenge some Christians. You give me 5 more minutes. God put me to the test when I arrived in Motherwell, because here's what happened. I was in a changing room with Andy Gorham, who was the Rangers in Scotland captain and legend, Don Goodman, who played for Wolves, John Spencer, who played for Chelsea, Lee McCulloch, who played for Rangers, Robert Martinez, who's now the Everton manager. All of these great stars. Billy Davis, the Nottingham Forest manager, was my manager. And it's my first day when out of his bag, John Spencer pulls a Buddha statue. And he says, I'm assured if we rub Buddha's head today, we're going to win the game. We get beat 2-0, by the way. But he went round everybody and he says, I want you to rub Buddha's head for luck. And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and says, I want you to take your stand for me. You won't rub Buddha's head. And he came to me and he said, Stuart, I want you to rub Buddha's head today. And I says, John, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he says, why ever not? I says, because I am a Christian. That thing that you're holding in your hand is an idol. I serve a living Jesus. And you want to see the looks on the faces of the other players? That's a way to introduce yourself, isn't it? Someone says, well, Stuart, why didn't you just rub Buddha's head? You know, there was no family, no friends there. When in Egypt, do as the Egyptians do. Do you know what? God would have seen it. And God honored that because in 2 years, I was their top scorer both seasons and had 13 international caps for Northern Ireland. But you know, very quickly, the greatest achievement for me at Motherwell was not on the pitch but off the pitch, because there was an event that I had at the end of those 2 seasons called Encounter at the Well, and I preached a message at it, and listen to what the message was. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all of these things that you do, one day God will bring you into judgment. And you know what, folks? I preached that with all of my heart, and there was 30 young people responded to the gospel that night. One of those young people was a pastor's son. I was told 2 years later that that young man, 3 weeks after that event, went out, passed his driving test, and was killed in a car accident. And was launched out into eternity. But I was so thankful, and his father, who took the funeral of his own son, was so thankful that someone gave an opportunity for that young man to hear the gospel, and he went out and it was well with his soul. Do you know what? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And that young man made the right decision that night. Why do I tell you that story? Because if it teaches us anything, friend, from the youngest to the oldest, don't put off to tomorrow what you need to do today. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So my time at Motherwell came to a close, and I knew that God was leading me. Hull City put £220,000 of a bid in for me. And I knew it was God's will for me to be in Hull. You say, Stuart, how did you know that? Because I went to the Whitewell Mother Church in Belfast. There was another sister church in Falkirk beside Motherwell. And there was one other affiliated church in the whole of England. Can anybody tell me where that church was based? It was in the city of Hull. Now, you couldn't get odds on that if you were a betting person, could you? That was the hand of God. When I arrived there, Hull was the lowest church-attended city in Britain. It was the highest in crime rate, the lowest in education. The team hadn't had a promotion in 20 years. The manager got the sack. The chairman calls me up into his office and he says, Stuart, what's gone wrong? And I says, Mr. Chairman, I couldn't tell you. But what I do know is this, that God has got a plan and a purpose for my life here, and you're going to see great things in the days that lie ahead. I went down, got into my car and said to myself, what on earth did you just say to that man? You put yourself on the line. When God spoke to me with that inner voice and said, Stuart, if you'll honour me the way you did in Northern Ireland and the way you did in Scotland, I'll do something tremendous in your life here in England as well. Folks, the first 3 seasons that I was there, we won 2 promotions in 3 years. I was the top scorer of 5 of those 6 seasons. And listen to this, on the 3rd season at Hull, I won the Golden Boot in all of the English leagues, beating Thierry Henry. What about that, fellas, eh? It's not bad, is it? Standing on the balcony of the city hall, the whole city's gathered below. When I think about what God said to me back at the beginning of my time in England, and I watch God's word come to pass. Because you see, promotion does not come from the east or the west. The Bible says promotion comes from God. And so there's a legacy been left in Hull as well, as it has been in Scotland and here in Northern Ireland, of the great things that Jesus has done in my life. And I'm so thankful, because I couldn't have done it without him. Now, I'll say this as I finish. The greatest experience of my life was playing for Northern Ireland. Not just once, but 36 times, scoring 4 goals. Been all over the world, played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world, bar none. Old Trafford, Celtic Park, in Italy and Spain. Travelled around Europe, played against some of the greatest players. Ronaldo's, Lampard's, Gerrard's, the Beckham's. But the greatest night of my life, footballing life, was to beat England 1-0 at Windsor Park in 2005. I knew I'd get a few cheers in here tonight for that. And you know what, folks? I enjoyed that night thoroughly. It was wonderful. That was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for me, you see. Every young man would dream of doing what I'd done. And I celebrated with all the Ulster flags out. It was wonderful. People enjoyed it. I went into the changing room. Laurie Sanchez was congratulating all us different players. The press was running here and there. But, you know, I took a moment for myself and started to think about the little boy from East Belfast who had no hope, no future. I started to think about all the great things that God had done for me. And it was then that I thought about a little song. And this is the song. There's still none but Jesus Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love, there's life, and there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Do you know my prayer as I finish for everyone in here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, that God would fulfill your dream. Whatever your dream is, whether it's in school, college, in your workplace, amongst your families, I pray that God would bless every one of you. But can I challenge you tonight as I finish? Please don't pursue your dream if you're not a Christian at the expense of your soul. And if you are a Christian, don't pursue those temporal things at the expense of leaving your Lord on the sideline. Jesus told a parable, and with this I close, about two types of people. One man was a man who built his house upon the sand. And we're told that the storms came and beat upon that house, and the house collapsed. Why? Because Christ taught that it was built on the wrong foundation, and that's like the person who lives their life without Christ. But then there's the other man who's the Christian, who built his house upon the rock, and of course Christ is that rock tonight. The same storms beat against that house, same troubles for both, but no, we're told that second house remains standing. Why? Because it was built upon the right foundation. And so pursue your dream, but make sure Christ is your foundation tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. That's my testimony. Say, Stuart, what's the secret of your success? I said to myself, if I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, I'm going to give him 120%. And that's just how I am tonight, all or nothing. And I pray, young person tonight, I pray, it's so great to see you here. I pray that you would do the same, even to the oldest. And know this, the same Jesus that changed my life wants to do something wonderful in your life if you'll just accept him in. So God bless you. Thanks for listening to my testimony. And thanks again for having me. Thank you.